Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We've been talking about DEI this morning. The depleted American talent pool for American businesses this morning. And so a lot of businesses in some cases are being forced to hire from overseas. As one of our previous callers mentioned, there are many companies and many policies in place incentivizing these businesses and pushing them in a direction away from hiring American work. That's a problem. That should stop. A wide range of topics here and a couple of callers waiting. So let's start off with Mark in Conshohocken. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Sean. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mark. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Look, there's a lot of factors into the mess that's in this country right now. Okay, number one, there's government incentive not to hire people from the United States, and the educational system's tearing down society. And here's another factor. It all starts in the home, too, because the parents don't make their kids go out and be responsible.
That's true. Accountability is something that matters. We got to teach accountability in the home. You're right.
Well, look, Sean. Look at the trust fund babies. You see it every day. First of all, there's a sense of entitlement. You know what my entitlement would be? Putting my foot up my kid's butt. He'll be 40 years old next year. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Right.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. You see the participation trophy generation not doing too well right now.
Oh yeah. And then another thing, responsibility gets blamed on other people. Like, for years and years and years. Now, if somebody goes in a bar and they start drinking, right, and they're all inebriated, they don't blame them. They blame the bartender.
That's true.
Disgusting.
Yeah, well, they serve me the drinks. They serve me. That's their job, is to serve you. You know what? You're right, Mark. The personal accountability in this country and in this society has been essentially, demonized and villainized, and
right.
It's been called every name in the book. You know, you can't ask people to be personally accountable. That's not nice.
And you know what, Sean? Guess what? I said this years ago. Okay, I was a single parent, and I raised my son on my own. And let me tell you, I was at report card conferences. It's the parents' responsibility. I kept my son off the streets, and guess what? He's married now, 4 grandbabies, very responsible, and I tell him, this is what I tell him. I've told him this for years. If you go out to society, when you're out there in society and you act like a coconut, I'm going to find out, because guess what? I'm 63 years old, and you will run across somebody who knows me. And if you make me look bad, I'll kick your butt all over the joint. I don't care how old I am.
Well, you know what, Mark? You must have done something right with them. He's got the 4 children, and that's amazing. So give yourself a pat on the back. You ought to be proud of yourself for what you've accomplished there. And you know what? More people need to be like that and start raising better kids.
Here's another thing, Sean. My kids, my grandbabies behave themselves, and my son is not a criminal.
Good for you, and good for them. And that means you did a job, and that means that's a good reflection on you, Mark. And that is what our country needs. So we appreciate, I appreciate hearing your story. Appreciate hearing, appreciate your call and you being here and contributing, because this is what I'm talking about. All right. This is what I'm talking about with where society is right now. If we're not going to take and as a country, you know, I see a lot of people beating their chest. No immigrants. We can't have them. I say, well, if they're legal and they're the best and most qualified person for the job, why shouldn't they get the job? Because they came from somewhere else? Shouldn't these businesses want to hire the best? Doesn't hiring the best incentivize being the best? I think it does, right? I mean, think back to like way early, right? You played like pickup football with your friends. Nobody liked being picked last, right? Everyone loved being picked first because then it means like the people who are picking you thought you were the best player to pick, right? Well, that incentivizes being the best. If you played sports or any sort of competitive environment, you're maybe in a sales job, you know, and you got your leaderboard up in the office. Everyone wanted to be in the top. How do you get to the top of the sales board? By being diverse? No, by being a good salesperson, by making the most deals, by generating the most revenue for whatever company you're selling, by moving the most units. I sold paint. We loved being at the top of the district leaderboard. Why? Because, you know, it's like, whoa, you guys are doing great things. We took a store that was making, you know, bringing in $400,000, $500,000 in sales to $1 million over the course of 3 years. We loved it. There were better bonuses. There was more incentives. You got recognition. You got, you know, different awards and you know, cherries on top for success. We didn't sell paint because we were diverse. We sold paint because we knew how to do it. We got Caroline now in Olney.
She has dropped.
Oh, she dropped. You know, I was looking forward to speaking with her. She had a reputation, from what I understand.
Yeah, she is a liberal caller who calls into the radio station a lot. And she kind of sounds like this. And, you know, I don't think that Donald's up, but she's a good caller. She's very good. Okay. You know, she's a very good caller.
That's good. And, you know, I mean, all viewpoints are welcome.
Absolutely.
I would have no problem, you know, with the slogan, right, that we hear, free speech lives here. I love it.
Yes.
You know what? This is my thing. The more speech, the better. Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole hate speech, this is hate speech, that's it. There are things we shouldn't say, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be respectful of other people. But, you know, the left has taken that and they've said, well, that's hate speech. Well, what's hate speech? Well, you know, saying MAGA. Why is saying make America great again hate speech? It's because they don't like it. That's the problem. I don't care who says what. You know, we do calls on my Rumble show all the time. And
right.
I say, if you're a liberal and you're listening to the show, you're probably not. You know, it's probably hard for them to sit down and listen to. But call in. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Exactly.
Don't just scream and yell on social media. Let's have a conversation.
Exactly. I say to family members all the time, look, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change your mind. But I'm always going to love you no matter what.
Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation.
You know, the more speech, the better. And honestly, it comes back to this idea, too, of may the best, insert whatever it is here, win. The best ideas will win. The best people will win in a purely merit-based system. That's where we got to go. Don't incentivize companies to hire people because of what they look like or where they come from. They need to be incentivized to hire the best people, whether they come from the United States or somewhere else. I want them to come from the United States. I want this country to produce the best talent in the world. The problem is we have a system right now that isn't interested in doing that. That's the issue. When you look at Wikipedia, right, this is like the shining model right now of how our country prioritizes things. And you see in their budget effectiveness at 39 million and DEI at 51 million. There you go. That's our education system. That is our workforce. That is our government. That is our military. That is our news media. That's everything. We are prioritizing being effective last behind meaningless issues. And that is why we find ourselves in this situation.
Hey, Sean.
That is why we find ourselves with that. Yeah, what's up?
I just want to say Caroline is back if you want to take her right now.
Let's Caroline,
bring her on. You know, we said that you were a good caller and we do mean it. Caroline, hi, how are you?
Hi. I didn't appreciate Jimmy's impersonation of me. I thought that was very rude. But anyway, the reason why I called is your position on mass deportation, I disagree with it. According to economists, if Trump deported all the undocumented migrants that are here, it would tank the economy because
half
of the people Half of the people who work in agriculture are undocumented. One out of seven of the people who work in construction are undocumented. A lot of people who work in the hospitality industry are undocumented. And so this would, and you'll say, well, we could get Americans to do that job. But you see a lot of people like me that are working for Amazon, they are getting $22 an hour now, and they want more. And people who are working for Starbucks, they get $18 an hour now, and they want more.
So let me ask you this. Caroline, let me ask you. These undocumented immigrants, I want to have a conversation with you. Trust me, I'm asking a legitimate question, right? So the folks that are working for Amazon that are American citizens are asking for more money. So your argument to keep the undocumented is that they're cheap labor? Is that it? Is that a nice thing to say about undocumented immigrants, that they can work cheap?
I don't say they should be oppressed, and I think they should get more. But if we had to pay Americans that amount of money, do you know what your tomatoes would cost and your other fruit? And another thing, he wants to put tariffs on goods that are coming into this country from Mexico. Half of our produce comes in from Mexico.
So he's going to do that. He could do that by eliminating the income tax, though, right? So we used to do this, right? Under McKinley, we did this. It was tariffs. It wasn't an income tax. So the only time you paid the quote unquote tax is when you consumed something, which is, don't you believe that's more fair? Or do you think that they should just take money even if you're not consuming anything, right? I mean, think of it this way. If there was no income tax, if the federal government did not draw money from you, just from existing and from working and from generating a wage and earning a wage, but instead they generated money on tariffs, and you did have to pay more for the things that you bought instead of paying more for tomatoes, as you mentioned, and having money come out of your checks. Don't you think that's more fair to the American citizen?
Well, half of the people in this country pay no federal income tax.
So where do you get that information? Half of the people? Half of the people don't pay taxes in this country?
Well,
half?
Almost half. But Romney said it, and he got into a lot of trouble for it. So you're talking about a national sales tax, which would be very regressive and oppressive on poor people. And furthermore, I heard an economist talking on the Wall Street Journal today. The economy is stable now, and they're worried that anything that Trump does will hurt the economy, that whether it be tariffs and this mass deportation. So that's going to hurt the economy. And then
Donald Trump's first term, though, where we had, before COVID, Caroline, we had more job openings in the United States than Americans than people actually looking for jobs. That's one of one of the healthiest signs of the economy. You have a burgeoning industry right now emerging in this country, crypto and the blockchain, right? Where we could be at the cutting edge of a lot of new innovation in this country that Donald Trump and his administration has prioritized as a way to generate new jobs and new businesses in this country. Mm-hmm. So with all due respect to this economist in the Wall Street Journal, I mean, I could find several economists who believe what Donald Trump is going to do is going to help this economy, he did in the first term.
But most economists say the economy is good now, and the best thing he could do is leave it alone.
That's most economists that you're watching. But I see a different set of economists that say the opposite.
Well, I saw a story on CBS News this morning, and he plans to put tariffs on toys and everything coming in from China, Mexico.
Made in this country. Shouldn't we incentivize us to make things in our own country? Why should we rely on other countries to make our toys? Why shouldn't we make them here in America?
I think Americans should have to compete. I don't think it should be handed to them that they're going to.
But Americans can't compete. You talk about oppression, Caroline, right? Oppression. You don't like people being oppressed. Mm-hmm. Do you know who makes those toys in China? Oppressed kids. Are we okay with that?
No, I don't think anyone should be exploited, but I don't want to see Americans have to purely buy American and have to pay a lot more for it. And furthermore, his tariffs will put these mom and pop stores out of business. Because
not if the not if the goods and services, not if the products that they are supplying are from America, they won't. You see, this is what it means to bring things in-house. You're incentivizing our country to utilize our products made by our people in fair conditions. We have great policies here that protect the workers. It's not perfect, but we don't have what happens in China. We don't have what happens in Cambodia. We don't have what happens in Taiwan. We don't have what happens in Vietnam. You know, your Adidas sneakers or some of the things that you wear were probably put together by somebody working in slave conditions. That's not to make you feel bad, Caroline. I wear the stuff too. But my point, but my point is, if we incentivize, if we're talking about ethics and we're talking about oppression and we're talking about being kind and we don't want people to be exploited, as you just said, the best way to do that is to make those products here. We can ensure that they're not being exploited the way that they're being exploited in these other countries where they're slaves putting together your clothes, slaves putting together your toys, slaves putting together the food that and some of the things that we're using for our pets, right? I mean, isn't it better? Yeah. Wouldn't we all feel better at the end of the day to know that an American who wasn't working in a sweatshop put together the product that you're using?
But it would take a long time to transition. And are you
so we shouldn't do it at all because it's going to take a long time?
No, but are you willing to pay $50 for a pair of blue jeans because they were made in America and you can get the
$40 for that same pair that was made in China if I buy it in Walmart. What's another $10? Listen, I think look, I understand what you're saying that it's going to have short-term negative effects, but we have to look at this as a long-term thing, Caroline. And I really appreciate your call. I do. I appreciate you, you raising this issue. I do. I really do. It's great to have this conversation. But yes, in to answer your question, I would be willing to pay more knowing that I am supporting directly an American business and an American job. I would much rather pay a little more knowing that I am supporting an American business and an American job. And I'll tell you what, I have supported the parallel economy and the sponsors that are on my Rumble show are American businesses. We have a farm in Northern California, OFP Farms. I exclusively use their lip balm. I love their soaps. Is it more expensive than if I were to go to Walmart and buy a $2 bar of soap? Yes, it is. But I know who I'm supporting. I know what I'm supporting. And I know that the people that I'm supporting support my values. And hey, you may be a company that doesn't support my values, but if you're putting one of my countrymen, one of my American brothers and sisters to work with the money that I send you, rather than putting a Chinese slave, to work in a sweatshop, I'd much rather support that. Yes, I'd much rather support that. And that's what kindness looks like. That's what America First looks like. And that's what our country needs to get back to. Caroline raises really good points. Okay. She raises really good points, and I appreciate her call, and I love talk. That's the way we have to have conversations in this country. Thank you for the call, Caroline, and we do have to take a quick break. We're going to be right back here on 1210 WPHT. We're in the final hour today here on Boxing Day. Is Mike Johnson in a little bit of trouble in the house? Thomas Massey posted a poll on X yesterday, which may suggest that he is. We'll talk about that as we come back here on 1210 WPHT. It's Kale and Company. Sean Farish guest hosting until 10 a.m. We're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Bo in Levittown, Pennsylvania. What's going on, Bo?
Hey, Sean, that last phone call, you handled it very well. But I'll tell
you. I mean, she's entitled to her opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. We can have a conversation. And I love having conversations.
I respect that, but I'll tell you what, she's better than baseball as far as, you know, what? Because mine went up into my stomach. But beside that, what she was parroting is those talking points related to tariffs. And President Trump is just using these tariffs as negotiating tools. And I'm actually okay with tariffs. If they got rid of income taxes and just had tariffs
here.
And I'm a CPA, and I have my own public accounting firm with four other partners and three offices, and I deal with successful entrepreneurs all the time. And they're all about spending their kids' inheritance if they want to. And they've built up businesses over the years and employ a lot of people. And, you know, they firmly believe in the old adage, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
So if everybody's paying in, if everyone has skin in the game, meaning that they're all paying taxes, then everybody appreciates what they've done. I mean, I've built up a business over the past 40 years. You know, I feel successful. My children are the same way.
Yeah.
In fact, the greatest thing that happened was at 2 in the morning on Wednesday morning when my daughter came in and woke me up and said, "Dad, future President Trump has been elected." She goes, "Now let's watch all the other stations on MSNBC and ABC."
Yeah, that was a lot of fun that night, wasn't it?
I want to see Martha Raddatz cry, and I want to see the meltdowns. And it was just as good as listening to you do the president's imitation and everything else that
you
do. Thank
you.
And the fact that you put up with the New York Jets.
Well, you get your shots in, right? I do put up with them. I don't put up with them well, but I do put up with them. And no, I would be fine with tariffs. You know, see, to me, if we eliminate the income tax, we go to tariffs, I'm fine. And I also love the fact that he's using them as a negotiating tool. It's true. He's using it with Canada. You see what he's doing with Canada, with Mexico, with China. It's a great way to negotiate. It's a great way to impose your will. And you know what? We did it once as a country where we generated our revenue with tariffs and not an income tax. And if we go back to that, then we go back to that. Then so be it. Maybe it's a better way forward. After all of our tax money,
Sean,
a lot of it's being sent overseas.
And unlike that woman, I'm willing to pay a little bit more if the product's made in America.
Same here. 100%. Knowing that
the
product
that
I bought, if the product that I'm buying was assembled by an American, or the money that I'm putting towards buying that product is going to an American business that is employing American people, there's no greater act of patriotism, in my opinion, than doing something like that.
Exactly. And a lot of times they're better made, too, most of the time.
That's right.
Because
they're not made under slave conditions.
I don't understand it, Sean. Don't understand it.
You know what? Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and this is why, you know, we love radio stations like 1210, you know, WPHD, where free speech lives,
Sean,
right? We can have these conversations.
What you didn't say is opinions are like you-know-whats, and
everyone's got one, and they all stink,
that's
right?
That's beside the point. So, but, Sean, God bless you and your family. Take care, and I enjoyed listening to you. I'm going to put you back on. I'm at work, enjoying life, and it's all good. Take care.
All right, Bo. Thank you so much. That was Bo in Pennsylvania. We have Ann in Springfield, who's also here to chime in. What's going on, Ann?
Hi, Sean. I was going to call in before Christmas, but I didn't think you were taking calls because you're remote. So I'm glad to hear you're taking calls now. I just wanted to chime in on the pervasiveness of DEI and people are going to figure it's done enough damage. If you think about it, it's coincidental, but DEI in the Catholic Church means of God, and it's part of the most sacred part of their Mass. And I think there is a term, Agnus Dei, it means Lamb of God. So that's kind of coincidental. Then if you turn it around and spell it backwards, it spells IED, which is an improvised explosive device. And
very true.
You know what happens if you encounter an improvised explosive device, an IED, you DIE. So I think it's time to retire the term and just retire the whole concept and make things good for everybody. Thank
you. Well, we say DEI. I mean, we've been, and thanks for the call, Ann. We appreciate you. And, you know, it's so nice to hear from everybody. You know, this happened last time too on Christmas Eve. We had a lot of calls in the final hour, and it's great to hear from everyone. And I'm thankful that you're listening and you're supporting, you know, my time on the station and the station as a whole. You're right about DEI, and there are plenty of acronyms that we can put forth here, like DEI says didn't earn it, DIE. I know a lot of people refer to it as that. IED, I never heard of that one before, but that's true. Like an IED, a DEI will probably blow up in your face. So it's something that I think we have to work through as a country and prioritize merit, prioritize success and useful skills instead of these gender studies or underwater basket weaving or 17th century feminism in a treehouse. It's ridiculous. I think it's crazy. And it's hurting our country. It really is. It is stunting our country's growth. And I'm tired of seeing it. And I think a lot of people are tired of seeing it, too. 77 million, apparently, are tired of seeing it. Donald Trump was sent back to the White House with a mandate to end this type of stuff and turn this thing around. And I think that's just what he's about to do. One more, Tom in Ocean City. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Sean, welcome to the Kale and Show Company.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Thanks so much. What's on your mind?
All right, listen, you did an excellent job handling Caroline. And I agree with the CPA to call. What that Caroline doesn't realize, and maybe she does, but she's obviously living in an echo chamber. She's very articulate.
No, I think we lost him. Did we lose him?
Yeah, he's gone. His cell phone was just going.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That stinks. He was on to something. He was on to something good. Tom, if you got a better connection.
Call back, Tom, definitely, with a better connection.
Yeah, Tom, if you got a better connection, give us a call back. We're definitely looking forward to hearing what you had to say. You know, he brings up an echo chamber, and both sides are generally guilty of this. And I say this all the time on my show on Rumble. And sometimes the audience gets a little upset when I say it. Not upset, but it's kind of, it's reality. You know, I look at when I'm given the opportunity to get behind a microphone, get in front of a camera and talk to people and talk on these issues. That is an opportunity that comes with a lot of responsibility, right? And I see this happen a lot on the internet, a lot of shows, a lot of people across the whole media ecosystem. They'll say things that they know will get attention, or they know will get their clicks, or build their followers up, or gain some online clout, and it might not be true. And it might not be true. Sometimes people say it, they make a mistake. It is what it is. But, you know, there were these conversations after Butler, right, after the assassination attempt on July 13th, that there was a shooter in a water tower. And he ziplined into an SUV. This guy, this clown on Twitter, Tony Saruga. I geo-tracked all of these cell phones. Never provides the evidence. That's usually the key sign that you're dealing with a BS artist. But a lot of people do it. And I say, one of my favorite things to say is, I may not always say what you want to hear. But I will tell you what I believe is true. And sometimes what I believe is true is counter the going opinion on our own side of the issues. You know, there have been times where, you know, let's look at Biden and Harris. And I said, I think I've been saying it since March of 2024, after Joe Biden had that whale of a press conference, right, where he got the country of Egypt confused with Mexico. I say, you'd much rather run against Biden than you would against Harris. No, she's the word salad queen. She's inept. She's drunk. She's stupid. She's unpopular. I said, yeah, but you know what their first thing they're going to do with Harris? They're going to hit you with woman of color, woman of color, woman of color. And she's younger. She doesn't have dementia. It's easier to pick on him than it is for her. He's the president. She's not. People said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Joe's got to step down. He's a stronger candidate. Who was the stronger candidate? Harris was the stronger candidate. Wasn't popular to say, but she was. All right. She still lost in epic fashion. A couple of points in the popular vote. I do think, though, if Trump ran against Biden in the 2024 election, I think you would have seen Jersey flip, Virginia flip, Minnesota flip, New Mexico flip. I mean, you would have seen like a very close to Reagan Mondale map. New York probably would have stayed blue. California probably would have stayed blue. But like these like tier two swing states like Jersey, Virginia, New Mexico, Minnesota, New Hampshire. Places like that, I think you would have seen those places flip also if Biden was running. Because think about it. You know, they had those talking points. Kamala's got people at her rallies and Beyonce and this and that. Nobody was showing up for Joe. Nobody was enthused. It was nothing. They couldn't even pay people to show up for him. So I always say, you know, and Tom, who was just on with us, you know, brought up an echo chamber that Caroline and whatever, she's in an echo. But a lot of us are, too, in some cases. In some cases. Not all. The facts are on our side, I believe. But it is important to hear from the other side. And mock when necessary. But most importantly, engage in that conversation. You know, it's the reason why the only clips that go viral from CNN are ones with Scott Jennings. It's the reason why The Five, as infuriating as Jessica Tarlov is on Fox News, is important, because at least you get to see her present an idea and it get debated and either debunked or discussed. That is where, again, if we go to purely a merit-based system, the best ideas will win. The best ideas will win. And that's why I firmly believe it. I've always believed it. On a level playing field, we're undefeated. On a level playing field, we are undefeated. But when you start exerting influence on the game, whether it's from the officials or from the rules, that's when things get sketchy and hairy. We will be right back to wrap up another amazing day here on 1210 WPHT for Kale and Company. My name's Sean Farish. I'm guest hosting for the next 20 or so minutes until 10 o'clock. We're back with This Day in Music History, maybe a little This Day in Boxing Day history on the other side of this break. It's 1210 WPHT, Kale and Company, Sean Farish guest hosting for you until 10 a.m. We'll be right back.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Tom, welcome back.
Sorry about that drop call, Sean. Anyway, I'll start off where I left regarding what Caroline was saying. The one thing about Donald Trump, when he says something, it's not like when Obama drew a line in the sand. It's not like right. when Biden was saying, don't. Even not as president, when he makes a threat, when that's what Caroline was addressing, it's a negotiating starting point. But they believe Trump is, I mean this in a good way, air quotes, crazy enough to follow through on what he says. Tariffs,
yep.
He uses that as a cudgel to try to level the playing field and also to use it to get to a better position, let's say, on Mexican border security, Canadian border security.
Yep.
Look, Justin Trudeau flew down, and Trump made a fool of him. And also, you know, we got the phone call from Mexico. Now, as far as the other issue goes, mass deportation, that's another negotiating point. There are so many illegal aliens in the country that are here that already have orders to be deported by judges. What is it, 2 million, Sean, something like that? I forget.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to take them quite a while to get those people deported. And then the criminal legal aliens, which, you know, the gotaways and everything, that's going to take a long time. So I don't think Caroline has to worry about losing the caddy on the golf course or any tomato pickers, or, you know.
Well, that's roofers. The thing. There was a guy on one of the mainstream outlets, CBS or something, who, you know, before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I believe his name was Castro, actually. He was a congressman out of California, I believe.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, the people who picked your food, those are illegals. The people who clean your toilets, those are illegals. And I'm like, could you just imagine if, like, Matt Gaetz said these things, what the reaction would be? Oh, he thinks they're here to clean toilets. What a terrible guy.
And I actually have skin in the game. My son works at Hard Rock, and, you know, they're bringing in a lot of people who, and they have a point that, hey, they need workers. They can't have them. They're bringing them in legally, you know, to work. So, yeah, all right, maybe eventually you can give some of those people a path to the citizenship, you know, but that we have so much to do to clean that all up. Caroline's never going to have to worry. And real quickly regarding Johnson, I heard you talk about him. I really like him, and I still do. However, you've seen Godfather 1. I don't know if Johnson's a wartime consigliere. He's a Tom Hagen.
I don't know. Johnson to me seems to be a little too, and I get he's working with very slim margins, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that, you know, and in many cases, Congress does have to compromise on legislation. It's been going on since the days the country was founded. But I would like to see a little more strength. You know,
well,
I would like to see a little
point.
More strength.
He came in with looked more like an omnibus than a continuing resolution. I mean, what he came in with was 1,200 pages. he knew that stuff wasn't going to fly, particularly since he has such a narrow margin. I think he lost confidence to some of the more moderate members bringing that thing in. Maybe if he bought in really skinny and had a better negotiating position to start with. But I still like him, you know, and I still think he's the only game in town right now unless they got something up their sleeve. But
yeah,
anyway,
that's the only problem is – you know, Massey put a poll up on X and said, should we vote for Johnson or somebody else? And, you know, it was like 97-3, somebody else. But you got to be careful because, you know, you get a few swampies and they'll elect Hakeem Jeffries. So, you know, it's the devil you don't.
Exactly.
It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. So we got to have a plan if we're going to make a change.
Exactly. And listen, I appreciate you filling in. When I turned on the radio for Kale, I had forgotten he's on vacation. I said, it sounded like a younger version of Zioli, but don't tell him I said that, you know, when I first tuned in.
You know, I've heard that a lot, Tom. Thank you so much for your call. I've heard that a lot. They say, you sound like Zioli. I will take that as a compliment because that man is highly respected, right? We love Rich. He's a great guy, highly respected guy. Oh, man, great stuff with the calls. The last hour, again, was full of, you know, commentary from the community, which I love. It's my favorite type of radio. It's my favorite type of show when it's not just a guy talking, right? I love to give you my opinions, but I like to hear feedback. I love to have conversations. I grew up listening to, you know, a lot of sports radio, WFAN, et cetera. And it was like, you know, this caller, here's who should have came in the eighth inning. And then another guy, no, it should have been this guy. And the host was like, no, it should have been this guy. And I'm like, look at all this. This is diverse opinions in sports, right? So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of how it impacts our life, meaningless, unless you were like me, you know, where the Jets actually made me sick. And they still do. My brother in suffering, you know, Phil Almquist knows what I'm talking about. But hey, before we get to this day in music history, I want to, you know, this day in Boxing Day history, right? So in 2004, I think we had a tragedy in Indonesia. The tsunami hit in 2004. I believe it was 20 years ago today, right? The Boxing Day tsunami, and there's a documentary. There's a documentary on National Geographic about it, and it's tough to watch. December 26, 2004, but there was that big earthquake, and it just sent ripples around the world, devastated a lot of these places. That's why we have a tsunami warning system. Also, the Boxing Day snowstorm. Who remembers the Boxing Day blizzard? The Boxing Day blizzard in what year was that? In the Northeast, Jersey got hit the hardest. December of 2010, the Boxing Day blizzard up and down the East Coast and parts of New Jersey with nearly 3 feet of snow back in the overnight hours of December 26th into December 27th. So, you know, a couple of interesting Boxing Day traditions. And of course, 14 years ago to the day, as the great Phil Almquist mentioned to me earlier.
The Jets qualified for the playoffs the last time, 14 years ago today.
14 years ago.
Today.
14 years ago, Philip.
Yes, 14.
What are we going to do about it?
We're going to talk about music and move on. That's what
we're
going to
do. Well, let's talk about music, and let's get to this day in music history. Make me feel better, Phil. Make me feel better. This day in music history with the great Phil Almquist.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
December 26th, we celebrate the birthdays of Large from Metallica, who's 61, Chris Daughtry, who's 45, Jay Younger from White Zombie, who's 58, Paul Quinn from Saxon, who's 73, and Peter Klett from Candlebox. Signal Coot, I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles in 63, Tequila by the Champs in 57. By the way, that was a B-side. She Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals in 88, and Different World by Iron Maiden in the UK in 2006. Albums include Gates to Purgatory by Running Wild in 84, and America's Debut in the UK in 71. Also in 81, AC/DC, For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, was atop the album chart. In 79, Pink Floyd was atop the same chart. Heart. In 66, Jimi Hendrix wrote the lyrics to Purple Haze. In 68, Led Zeppelin started their North American tour opening for Vanilla Fudge. In 76, the Sex Pistols recorded God Save the Queen. In 73, The Exorcist opened in theaters. And in 86, the Beastie Boys kicked off their License to Ill tour with a show in New York City. By the end of that tour, License to Ill became America's first number one rap album, and thousands of VW albums would go missing as fans steal them to emulate Mike D's signature look. But lastly, I really couldn't pass on this nugget, even though the anniversary was yesterday. On December 25th, 1975, Iron Maiden was formed. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Hopkins. And by the way, Sean, real quick on Three Doors Down, seen him twice this year. Amazing. They'll be back here in Philly next year in Camden with Creed again. And hi, Barry. How are you?
It's Christmas.
Christmas was fantastic. How was your Christmas?
It was quick. Listen, how are you down there, Sean?
Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm in Tennessee. I'm not in New York City. We're not in the Northeast, and we're doing well. I got to ask Phil this question. What did you think of the Jet Bowl the other day? Sam Darnold versus Geno Smith with Mark Sanchez in the booth.
It proves good coaching does wonders in the NFL.
I don't even know what
Although,
you guys...
I don't think I would have given Geno 10 years to play.
Neither, but I.
He did go from the Jets to the Chargers.
And he wasn't really that good for a few years, and it finally just broke through with good coaching. But
Sean, you guys are talking about good coaching. You guys out of your mind? When's the last time you've been to the Super Bowl? What are you guys talking about?
When I was 3 months old.
You know what? We're one for one. We have a 100% win rate in the Super Bowl.
That is true.
And you're welcome, by the way. You're welcome, by the way, because I'll tell you this. If the Jets did not win the Super Bowl in 1969, we never would have walked on the moon.
This is true.
Because NASA looked at that and said, if the Jets could win the Super Bowl, we could walk on the moon.
We provided
the inspiration. Yes.
And listen, you had the best looking quarterback that I've seen in a long time, didn't you? In those days, what a handsome
Mark
guy.
Sanchez, we had with Mark Sanchez too, and then he ran into Brandon Moore's backside and fumbled the football. So sometimes,
we had that lead in '98, and then at the half, and then blew it, and then Denver walked over Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
Listen, Phil,
routed Atlanta in the regular season that year.
Phil, I need some help.
Yes,
I
Barry.
Agree with Sean's callers. He is a pro's pro, and as you know, I'm a rookie around this station.
Yes.
I want to fly to Nashville for his tutelage because he is a pro's pro.
He's very good.
Can you fit me in, Sean?
I can fit you in. Listen, I mean, I haven't been doing it that long. So I filled in the first radio I did was last year on 1210 WPHD.
Oh,
but I've been listening
you actually may have beat a Barry.
Yeah, I did beat you. Then wait a second. You're the rookie, not me. I'm here now about a year and a half. And I have to tell you something. And I have to just reclaim what you said the other day. It is really a privilege to be on the air, is it not? My God.
Oh, it is.
You know?
100%. And it's so nice to speak with so many people and diverse viewpoints, too. We get folks calling in, and we're having a good time. And we're, you know, at 4 hours, I mean, I was up 6 o'clock, like, it's 10. It's almost time to go. I can't believe it. It goes by so fast because it's so much fun. They say time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Time really flies when you're doing radio.
Sean, give
Especially me your... Especially on 1210
WPHD. Of course. Give me your resolution, 2025. What's going to happen in this country, my friend?
Well, all the bad hombres are getting flung out by the Trump-a-pult. That's number one. We're going to get rid of these people. We're getting them all out.
I'd love that.
No, I think, you know what? It's time to clamp down on the border, and it's time to restore common sense. Let's get back to common sense in America. Let's shut down the Department of Education, send it back to the states. And how about we focus a little bit on homeschooling? Let's bring it back to the home. Let's teach lessons that need to be learned in the home and really just get back to doing right by each other, okay, instead of catering to diversity. It would make the world and the country a much better place.
Yeah. Listen, when am I going to see you again? When I'm sitting in today, you're sitting in. I need you to get to Philly one of these days. Or if you're there and I'm here, I told you I want to do a show with you. Two rookies. Can we do it? I'm asking. How much is it going to cost me, Sean? I'll pay for it.
You're either going to have to come to Tennessee, which is the most likely option, because it's hard to get me out of this place.
There you go.
Or Or Greg's going to have to, Stocker's going to have to twist my arm, put together a sick event up in Philadelphia and say, hey, you know, you got to come up for another event. We're doing another one. Because that mock debate that we had up in the end of October was
which was my birthday,
blast.
Sean. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that was actually my birthday. Yes. That was one of my coolest birthdays ever.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun being a part of that. The remote broadcast, being the beautiful studio you got up there. It was awesome.
Hey, Sean, let me brag for 2 seconds. Did you see that Sixer win yesterday? Beat the Celtics in Boston. Did you see that?
Oh, I don't watch Chinese prostitution, and by that I mean the NBA. So,
there you go. I don't have a defense for that. Do you, Phil?
No, I do not.
And I'm in agreement with you, Sean.
Actually, you know, it's funny. Basketball is really, I like the sport a lot. I think it's a very tough sport to play. And I'll watch college basketball all day long. I can't watch the NBA. I just can't. I used to, and I was a Knicks fan, and it's a fun game to watch. I can't. I
prefer the college game as well, Sean. So yeah. It's all good.
Sean, it's all about the money.
It's right around the corner.
Follow the money, is it not?
That's right. Always is. It's always about the money. And, you know, look, most sports went woke. And I think things are starting to turn back in our favor. You know, the NFL, Goodell still, you know, got questions about him, but you see people doing the Trump boogie on the field and things like that. It would be nice to start, you know, can we just play the sport and get back to playing baseball and football and basketball? If that happens, I'll be watching.
You know, the president-elect, you mentioned something which is true. He has really ingratiated his heart in other people's hearts. He's really terrific, this guy, as far as I'm concerned. He has shown a different side than we may have seen when he first ran years ago, obviously, in his first stint. This guy's something. Wherever he goes, people appreciate him. I think, Sean, and I mean this, going forward, I think America is going to radically change and metamorphosize into something different than we've seen. I think that a lot of healthy things are going to happen.
I think so too. And I think what the silver lining, you know, of the last 4 years, and I'm gonna have to go back and find it. I'm pretty sure I have it saved somewhere. I said it the day before inauguration 2021 when Biden was sworn in. I said, you know what the silver lining is going to be? This is going to be, we knew it was going to happen. This is going to be the biggest wake-up call and the most necessary wake-up call this country has ever had. And I see a lot of people using that talking point, saying, you know what?
Yep.
We needed to go through the last 4 years. We just like I always say, I'm thankful for living through Cuomo's COVID restrictions in New York because I know what it feels like. I had people in Tennessee, they live here in Murray County, and Andy Ogles was the mayor and there were no restrictions. And when I tell them the stories, they're like, that didn't happen. I say, you know, it all of it did.
Yeah, of course.
All of it happened. And I'm thankful to have lived through it because I know what it's like and I know what I never want to see happen again, especially down in this state now. So,
Sean, from your mouth to God's ears, amen. I mean that.
Amen. Yep. That's right.
Great job
today.
It's
been a fun morning here. It's been a fun morning here on 1210 WPHT. I'll be back on Monday on the 30th. Right before New Year's Eve, we'll do it. We'll do it one more time. So excited about it! And Barry, we hope you have a great show.
Yeah, Barry, have a great show.
Next,
thank you, boys. I'm going to give it my best.
All right,
see
you always do.
Take care. Have a healthy and happy New Year, Sean.
You do the same.
Start your day with Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.